do the ungodly attain positions of power? That is the topic we'll discuss today right here on the Christian Worldview Radio program, where the mission is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news that all people can be reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm David Wheaton, the host of the program, and our website is thechristianworldview.org. Well, during the 8 years of President Barack Obama, conservative Christians were regularly alarmed at the leftist policies he promoted, whether it be the expansion of abortion or homosexuality and transgenderism. He never missed a beat in speeches to talk about those two issues. His anti-Israel and pro-Islamic policies, whether he promoted climate change, and above all, a bigger, more regulating, higher taxing, redistributive government. But with the election of Donald Trump, there are some new faces of the Democrat Party, whether it be Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and Beto O'Rourke, among several others. They are even further left in their policies, advocating for more extreme policies than President Obama. So as we've heard in recent weeks here in the program and in the news, now aborting or killing a baby during or after birth is basically just openly supported. Restructuring our entire society to end climate change is an urgency that everyone must be on board, we saw in the Green New Deal. And self-identifying as a socialist isn't a career ender anymore. But if you have a biblical worldview, you're the one that's considered to be the extremist. So today in the Christian Worldview, we're going to look at examples of how far left the new Democratic leadership have moved and try to answer a couple questions. Is that how did we get to such a point where these leaders have become so far left? And why do people with such radical policy positions get elected to positions of power? So when I use the word ungodly today, why do the ungodly attain positions of power, I'm referring to those who disregard and reject God and his word, and they promote ungodly policies. And they may be probably living that way in their own personal lifestyles as well, but we're going to try to keep it more to their public policies than their personal lifestyle today. Usually one follows the other, by the way. But today we'll focus more just on the policies. Now, to those with on the left or those who have a humanistic worldview, President Trump would be a number one example of the ungodly attaining power. They can't stand him. They hate him. They think he's the devil incarnate. Now, from a personal lifestyle position, you could say that Donald Trump used a lot of ungodly means to rise to power. I mean, his willingness to basically fight dirtier and say whatever he wants to say and cut every other Republican candidate off at the knees during the campaign and what he does on Twitter and so forth would be a good example of that. But from a policy standpoint, he certainly is not undermining traditional American values. Matter of fact, he's promoting them, I think. His personal character, yes, is flawed. All of us have flaws and sin in our own personal character, but he's not promoting policies of wickedness or ungodliness. So today we're going to be examining, again, more public policies versus personal behavior. Now, there's nothing new that the ungodly attain power. Just think back to the Old Testament and all the list of kings that Israel had in the divided kingdom between the north and Israel and the south and Judah. As a matter of fact, I saw an interesting column on gotquestions.org asking the question, who were the kings of Israel and Judah? And Got Questions is a very good resource if you want to get sort of a one-page answer to a question about the Bible or about some issue. And they said that in the period that preceded the monarchy, the kingdoms in Israel, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. In other words, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That's from Judges 21:25. God raised up Samuel, prophet, to lead the people. All of Israel knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. So it was that period of the judges, okay? And then it turned into the period of the kings. So Israel rejected the sons of Samuel. The article goes on to say, refused to obey him, and they demanded a king. And when Samuel reported that request to God, the Lord said, listen to them and give them a king. And then there's the whole list of kings as you read the Old Testament. There was the first king was Saul, and then, of course, King David, and then Solomon. And then it goes into this long, circuitous, downward, mostly downward, ungodly kings rising to positions of power. The article goes on to say, after the death of Solomon, the kingdom was divided. 10 tribes formed the northern kingdom called Israel. Judah and Benjamin formed the southern kingdom called Judah. This happened around 931 BC. All the kings of Israel, the northern kingdom, practiced idolatry. The worst served the idol Baal. Many of the kings of Judah served idols. Few served the Lord faithfully. Some bad kings were partly good, some good kings partly bad. And then he has a whole list of the kings of Israel. There was Jeroboam the first. He was rebellious. Nadab was bad. Baasha was wicked. Elah was evil. Zimri was sinful. Tibni was iniquitous. Omri was extra bad. Ahab was the worst up to that point, 874 BC. Ahaziah was disobedient. Jehoram was mostly rotten. Jehu, not good, but better than the rest. Jehoahaz was non-compliant. Joash was wayward. Jeroboam the second was badly behaved. Zechariah was abysmal. Shalom was full of vice. Manahem was horrible. Pekahiah was idolatrous. Pekah was awful. And Hoshea was appalling. I mean, it has been a fact of history that the ungodly rise to positions of power. And we're going to try to answer that question, why that is, just a little later in the program. Now, that was for Israel. Now, in Judah, the southern kingdom, they weren't quite as bad, but you had Rehoboam, who was mostly bad. Abijah was mostly perverted. Asa was the first one in the list here that is ascribed as good. Jehoshaphat, he was ascribed to be righteous. But then it went down again. Jehoram was terrible. Ahaziah was bad. Athaliah, the queen, was devilish. And then you got Joash was mostly virtuous. Amaziah was mostly wholesome. Uzziah was mostly respectable. Jotham was worthy. But then you go bad again, down to Ahaz was heinous. And the best king of all was Hezekiah, written 715 BC. Remember him, story in scripture. And it goes on to the rest of them. I won't go through the whole list. But it just makes the point that this is nothing new, that the ungodly attain power. It's just interesting how that's always the case, that there's usually more ungodly people in power than there are godly. So the Bible talks about this in the Old Testament, not just in the list of the kings, but also in passages in Scripture. In Proverbs 29, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, people groan. Or Proverbs 28:15, like a roaring lion and a rushing bear, in other words, don't get in their way, is a wicked ruler over a poor people. Isaiah 10:1, woe to those who enact leaderships, evil statutes, laws, and to those who constantly record unjust decisions. So there's a lot of precedent, a lot of history for this. This is nothing new that's taking place in America. The ungodly have always attained, risen to positions of power. But I think in America, we're at a new stage. And I'm certainly not saying that Republicans are personally righteous or godly people personally. But this new Democratic leadership, we've been seeing examples of it, is pushing policies that I would have to categorize as far left, socialist, Marxist, ungodly, wicked, and anti-American. So who are these, this younger, fresh face, as they've been called in the media, leadership in the Democrat Party? Well, I first started to notice that there had been a major shift during the Judge Kavanaugh hearings. You remember this last summer, and the Senate Judiciary Committee basically tried to destroy the man and believed and brought forth someone who made an accusation that couldn't be corroborated by anyone. And they basically just said, we believe her. And the accusation is true. Something that happened, 30 some years ago in high school, and no evidence of it. but they were going to try to destroy Judge Kavanaugh because he's not in line with their worldview. They knew he was pro-life. He'd be on the Supreme Court, and that was willing to destroy the man. Anything to be take him down was possible. We saw this all before, right in the news every day, live TV. We saw it was taking place. But with now the elections that took place, there's been some new faces of the Democrat Party have come into the Congress. Some have been there for a while, but here's a list. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. This is the first three are sort of the trifecta, I think, that are getting the most attention right now. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New York. Ilhan Omar, right from here in Minnesota. And Rashida Tlaib from Michigan. And we're going to have sound bites and give you some examples of why we're saying their policies are ungodly. Then you have Cory Booker, who is on the Senate Judiciary Committee, Senator from New Jersey, and Kamala Harris from California, and Beto O'Rourke, the congressman from Texas. We'll get into some of their viewpoints. And then some of the older guard is Elizabeth Warren. She's been around for a while. Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, who just recently put this abortion, almost unlimited abortion to the time of birth for a child. And we saw the governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, saying the same in Virginia. And so you're taken all together. I mean, these folks, and there are many others that I didn't even mention here, here's what they support. They support abortion, not just, you know, before the heart starts beating in 18 days or in the first trimester. No, they support killing a baby at all stages of pregnancy and even afterwards, you know, if, quote unquote, the life and health of the mother is somehow at stake. And matter of fact, these are the folks that sat down, didn't rise up to even clap when Trump's made some statements regarding, you know, protecting the most innocent among us and supporting life in a State of the Union address. They all sat down as if this was completely unimportant. They're against it. They also support homosexual and transgender sexual perversion and non-conversion counseling. This is a key tenet of what they believe. You're going to hear in some sound bites today. And if you don't believe that, if you're against that, you better not apply for a job, as we're going to see from Cory Booker today. And you're going to be punished for it if you have a sincerely held religious belief that would conflict with doing something to, let's say, service a quote-unquote gay wedding. All of them are for open borders. No nation states are for globalism. They're all jumping on board this new Green New Deal, as we covered recently with Cal Beisner. They're for legalizing marijuana, for hate speech codes. They're against Israel. They're for the Palestinian legitimacy. Basically, they just have anti-American values. They're not for individual liberties. It's for much more of a communitarian worldview. They want to take away the Christian influence in this country. And I think a good example of this is the way they criticized Mike Pence's wife, Vice President Mike Pence's wife, when she went to go volunteer at a Christian school. She's somehow a bigot for going to work at a volunteer at a Christian school or teach there. Maybe she was being paid. I'm not sure. Either way, she went to go work there. And because the school has standards about sexuality and marriage, she's a bigot. So with that as a little background, we'll take our first break of the day here and come back and start getting into some of the sound bites for what these folks support, why they attain positions of power, and how Christians should respond to this new lurch to the left in America. I'm David Wheaton. You're listening to The Christian Worldview.
I think the greatest sin in the world is bringing children into the world that have disease from their parents, that have no chance in the world to be a human being, practically. Delinquents, prisoners, all sorts of things just mocked when they're born.
That's Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood. We ought to never become indifferent to the slaughter of the innocents taking place in our country. This is why we are offering a DVD series entitled Life is Best that will equip you to stand for life and against this injustice. In this two DVD set are 13 episodes that address all the facets of abortion, from the worldview battle to what you can do. For a limited time, you can order the Life is Best DVD series for a donation of any amount to The Christian Worldview. Normal retail is $49 plus shipping. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331.
The mission of the Christian Worldview is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news that all people can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. For when Christians have a stronger faith and when unbelievers come to saving faith, lives and families and churches, even communities, are changed for the glory of God. The Christian Worldview is a listener-supported ministry. You can help us in our mission to impact hearts and minds by making a donation of any amount or becoming a monthly partner. All donations are tax deductible. You can give online at thechristianworldview.org or by calling us toll-free 1-888-646-2233. When you give, we'd like to thank you by sending you a current resource. Monthly partners can choose to receive resources throughout the year. Call 1-888-646-2233 or go to thechristianworldview.org. Thank you for your support.
Back on the Christian Worldview radio program, I'm David Wheaton. Our website is thechristianworldview.org. Just encourage you to go there. A lot to take advantage of there. You can go and you can sign up for our free podcast. And also, we've been producing now short takes of the program every week. So sort of like audio highlights, short little bits that you can hear four or five every week if you don't have time to hear the full podcast, which usually runs about 45 minutes or so. But the short takes, when you sign up for the podcast, you also get those as well for free. You can also get some of our recent resources that we're offering for a donation of any amount. We have The Life is Best, the two DVD series with 13 episodes. That usually retails for $49. You can get it for a donation of any amount. And also recently, as I mentioned, Cal Beisner is on the program with two resources on the whole environmental movement and how Christians need to understand and see through the nefarious scaremongering schemes of those who promote human-caused global warming and climate change. So we have a DVD on that, and we also have a booklet, both, again, for a donation of any amount to the Christian Worldview. Just go to our website or give us a call. Now, today we're discussing why the ungodly attain positions of power. And in the first segment, we went over some of those who are the new faces of the Democrat leadership who are very much to the left, even more than I think Barack Obama was. I think he shocked a lot of Christians when he came into office, just how far left he was. Well, this new generation is even further left. I think they are taking positions, policy positions, again, that maybe he would have gotten to, or maybe he was there, but he did maybe a better job of hiding it. But these folks are just outwardly supportive of abortion at all stages of pregnancy, homosexual and transgender rights at all levels, and punishment for those who don't concur with what the Bible calls degrading passions and unnatural. They're fully on board with that. Open borders, we've seen that in the border debate right now. They don't want borders. They want no nation states. They want a global governance. Green New Deal, environmental, that's a radical environmental debacle is what it is. Legalizing marijuana, I mean, how can that be really good for society? Hate speech codes, anti-Israel, just anti-American values from a standpoint of constitutional values of individual liberties, freedom of speech and religion, the Christian influence they want taken away in this country. You know, I'm not just, now, again, just so you don't hear me wrong, not to say that there's no ungodly Republicans out there. It's not, you know, Democrat bad, Republican good. That is not at all what the point of this program is today. It's that the policies that are being pushed by this leadership now on the left is ungodly. I think it's not traditionally American at all. And it's the fact that Republicans, they may be living ungodly lifestyles, granted that point, possibly, but I don't see any Republicans supporting or pushing these sorts of ungodly policies. There might be some pro-abortion Republicans out there, but they're certainly not trying to expand abortion rights up until the time of birth and afterwards, so a woman can kill her child. Infanticide. You know, we're not so much talking about, and we're also not talking so much about more of the old school leftists like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. They're very much to the left too. But this new generation is loud and proud about it. And they're not trying to hide any of their leftism anymore. As a matter of fact, the National Review, not necessarily the most conservative of all websites, said Schumer and Pelosi and their establishment cronies may have the power in the Democrat Party. Here's the change. But it's obvious that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, and Ilhan Omar, remember the trifecta there, are winning the hearts of Democrat voters and liberal journalists in ways that are bound to affect the national debate in the 2020 presidential race. Republicans and more moderate Democrats dismiss these three at their peril. They are not outliers who are merely fodder for stories on slow news days. As the last few weeks show, the trio will be among the loudest figures in a party whose rank-and-file members are hungry for angry, radical voices that are more in sync with hashtag resistance than with the uninspiring Chuck and Nancy show. So let's go over a few of these new leftists in power and go over what exactly they believe. Well, first of all, you have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You remember her last week from saying this about her reported or her announcement of the New Deal, the Green New Deal that she is supporting, which would basically overhaul our complete society.
I am so incredibly excited that we are going to transition this country into the future. Today is the day that we truly embark on a comprehensive agenda of economic, social, and racial justice in the United States of America.
That's right.
The resolution, just 14.
Okay, we won't play the rest of it. You already heard that one. But it's just, it's environmentalism used as a bludgeon to completely take over society. And by the way, she's not the only one that is for it. All kinds of Democrats are saying that this is where we want to go. This is what we want to do to this country. Trillions and trillions of dollars. It would completely cause this country to be basically a socialist, borderline communist country if you had that much of a government takeover. And it's not just the younger leadership, by the way, that wants this. Chuck Schumer had to go on record this week. Now, the old guard now of the Democrat Party. And look what he had to say about this Green New Deal.
They're taking their lead from the president, a man who is so willfully ignorant and foolish that he thinks he's clever by ridiculing the global scientific consensus on climate change whenever it snows. Well, the American people are not laughing. The rest of the world isn't laughing either. Not when basically every country in the world, including Syria, North Korea, Iran, are working together to reduce carbon emissions, while the Trump administration has forced the United States to sit on the sidelines. I would say to our Republican colleagues, this is no game. It is no joke. Climate change is deadly serious. And the time for all of us to treat it that way is now, before it is too late.
Here you go. It's just a perfect example of the scaremongering before it's too late. This is an existential threat. And Trump is a climate denier and he denies the scientific evidence out there. I mean, it is exactly the opposite worldview that when someone like Cal Beisner comes on the program from the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation, someone's lying here, folks, because you can't have diametrically opposed truth claims and have both people telling the truth. And he's setting up, did you notice how he set up Syria, Iran, and North Korea as examples? Like they should be our examples of working for climate change? I mean, why would you? That is just, it's a ridiculous assertion. But back to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, just another example of the radicalism this week that Amazon was going to build a office space or a business, have a business presence in New York. It was going to be huge. It was going to something estimates employ like 25,000 people in just outside Manhattan, in actually Ocasio-Cortez's district. Well, it turns out this week that the city of New York and people there didn't want, some of the people who were in her district didn't want this big corporate entity coming into their area, despite the fact that it was going to bring billions of dollars in there and there are all these jobs that were going to come. And so Amazon quickly decided just to pull the plug. So, okay, fine. You don't want us here and you're going to give us a lot of trouble. We're trying to bring industry and economic growth to your area. If you don't want us, well, we'll go find somewhere else that's more favorable to what we're going to bring to the table. And so what does Cortez say about Amazon pulling out? Most people would think, well, there's probably some negatives to have a huge corporation coming in town, but there's probably some really big benefits for people who need jobs, need to feed their families. Here's what she had to say when asked about Amazon pulling out.
I think it's incredible. I mean, it shows that everyday Americans still have the power to organize and fight for their communities, and they can have more say in this country than the richest man in the world.
So it's a big positive for her that Amazon would not build a new plant there and 25,000 jobs and billions of dollars of infusion of money into the economy would come to them. That's a completely socialistic worldview described right there. So we'll go from Cortez. Let's go down to the next person in that trifecta of the ones influencing now the Democrat leadership is Ilhan Omar. And we in Minnesota are very familiar with Ilhan Omar. She served in our state legislature for, I think, a number of terms. She's a refugee from Somalia. She's in the Minnesota 5th District. She's a Muslim. She wears a hijab. And she and Rashida Tlaib are the first Muslim women ever elected to Congress. The first Muslim in Congress was also from Minnesota. Keith Ellison is now the Attorney General of Minnesota. And Ilhan Omar has a long history of anti-Semitism. Just call it what it is. She said and tweeted back in 2012, Israel has hypnotized the world. May Allah awaken the people and help them see the evil doings of Israel. Did you catch that? I mean, that's not too coded. That's pretty plain to hear what she means by that. There's been a lot of things since then. I'm not going to have time to get into all of them, but just this past week, she got into this anti-Semitism again. From an article online, the first-term Democrat, again, all this came into power in January. The first-term Democrat representative from Minnesota did something ugly Saturday night, responding to a tweet about the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement against Israel. It's called BDS, where they want to boycott, divest, and sanction Israel because they're an apartheid state. The young Somali American suggested U.S. lawmakers defend Israel because it's all about the Benjamins, baby. That's what she said. And that's an anti-Semitic trope. And she says, who's paying these American officials, these Benjamins, slang for $100 bills, to be pro-Israel? AIPAC, she said, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee. And so she had to walk this back. But then in the next segment, we'll get into her kind of non-apology and what we should know more about her worldview and the rest of these Democrats who are lurching further and further to the left. This is the Christian Real View. We'll be back after this. Environmental scaremongering is the favored tactic of the left to gain massive government control. After all, if you can convince people that we are imperiling our very existence by human-caused climate change, there is no tax, law, or reordering of society that goes too far. Christians need to be fully informed of this nefarious climate change scheme. That is why we are offering two resources by Cal Beisner, founder of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation, who brings a truthful, biblical worldview to this issue. Climate Change in the Christian is an 80-minute DVD message, and The Cosmic Consequences of Christ's Crosswork is a 15-page booklet. One or both are available for a donation of any amount to the Christian worldview. To order, go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331.
Be sure to take advantage of two free resources that will keep you informed and sharpen your worldview. The first is the Christian Worldview Weekly Email, which comes to your inbox each Friday. It contains a preview of the upcoming radio program, along with need-to-read articles, featured resources, special events, and audio of the previous program. The second is the Christian Worldview Annual Print Letter, which is delivered to your mailbox in November. It contains a year-end letter from host David Wheaton and a listing of our store items, including DVDs, books, children's materials, and more. You can sign up for the weekly email and annual print letter by visiting thechristianworldview.org. or calling 1-888-646-2233. Your email and mailing address will never be shared, and you can unsubscribe at any time. Call 1-888-646-2233 or visit thechristianworldview.org.
So why do the ungodly attain positions of power? That is a topic we're discussing today on the Christian Worldview radio program in light of many of these young, new faces in the Democrat Party who are extreme left now, even from the predecessor of Barack Obama in presidency that many Christians believe to be very left. It's open and out now. And the policies that supported all abortion at all stages of pregnancy, even afterwards, after birth, homosexual and transgender, the degrading passions the Bible talks about, and the unnatural actions of that sexual immorality, punishing religious rights, open borders, the Green New Deal, legalizing marijuana, hate speech codes, anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian, anti-American values, and it goes on. And again, we're talking about the policy positions, not so much the personal lives. We're not going to delve into that because we know that their personal lives, as everyone's a sinner. Some are worse than others, of course, but we're not dealing with the personal side today, but the policy positions that these people are advocating for. And before this last break, we were talking about Ilhan Omar, our congresswoman here from Minnesota, here in the 5th District, and she's come into the U.S. Congress, U.S. House, and she's already continued with her anti-Semitism. And so she had a quote-unquote apology, because it's not an apology. I'm going to read it and show you that this is not an apology. She's just sorry that it created a bit of a furor. She said, anti-Semitism is real. This is what she said after her anti-Semitic trope. She said, anti-Semitism is real, and I'm grateful for Jewish allies and colleagues who are educating me on the painful history of anti-Semitic tropes. My intention is never to offend my constituents or Jewish Americans as a whole. We have to always be willing to step back and think through criticism, just as I expect people to hear me when others attack me for my identity. This is why I unequivocally apologize. Last paragraph. This is where the apology turns into a non-apology. At the same time, I reaffirm the problematic role of lobbyists in our politics, whether it be AIPAC, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, the NRA, National Rifle Association, or the fossil fuel industry. Where do you think your political views lie? It's been going on too long, and we must be willing to address it. In other words, I'm sorry I said what I did, but I'm not really that apologetic about it. It's true what I said. And then a day later, President Trump spoke out against her tweet about anti-Semitism, and she tweets him back and says, "Hi, Donald Trump, you have trafficked in hate your whole life against Jews, Muslims, indigenous immigrants, black people, and more. I learned from people impacted by my words. When will you?" This is a first-term congresswoman tweeting to the president just a day or two after her anti-Semitic remark. And then she went into She's on the, I believe, the Foreign Relations Committee, if you can believe that, in the U.S. House. And she went on to question who was it? It was Elliot Abrams, who had been involved in Central American policy in Central America. And just listen to the line of questioning as she goes after this man. You can really discern what Ilhan Omar's worldview, her leftist worldview, really is.
Mr. Adams, in 1991, you pleaded guilty to 2 counts of withholding information from Congress regarding your involvement in the Iran-Contra affair, for which you were later pardoned by President George H.W. Bush. I fail to understand why members of this committee or the American people should find any testimony that you give today to be truthful.
If I can respond to that.
It wasn't a question.
I reserve the right to my time. It is not right.
That was not a question.
Committee can attack
on February 8th,
who is not permitted to reply.
That was not a question. Thank you for your participation. On February 8th, 1982, you testified before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee about U.S. policy in El Salvador. In that hearing, you dismissed as communist propaganda report about the massacre of El Mozote, in which more than 800 civilians, including children as young as 2 years old, were brutally murdered by U.S.-trained troops. During that massacre, some of those troops bragged about raping a 12-year-old girl before they killed them. Girls before they killed them. You later said that the U.S. policy in El Salvador was a fabulous achievement. Yes or no, do you still think so?
From the day that President Duarte was elected in a free election to this day, El Salvador has been a democracy. That's a fabulous achievement.
That should tell you everything you need to know about Ilhan Omar's worldview. Look at the line of questioning. To say, we're questioning you today, but why should we believe anything you're going to tell us because you've already been charged with lying to Congress, you know, 30, whatever it was back in the 80s. Okay, starts out with that. That's not a question. That's just a statement I'm going to make. And then I'm going to go into charging you for, did you notice, it wasn't U.S. military that did this rampage, as she called it, this rape. It was U.S. trained people down there who did it. And I don't even know what the incident was or whatever she's talking about. But the point is, it wasn't U.S. This guy didn't call for it, but she was attributing to him this massacre that took place down there. She told everything you need to know about what kind of person this is and what kind of policies she pushes for. Now, I want to open up the phone lines because we're going to get to some other ones. But while we're playing some more sound bites, I want to ask these two questions. Why do you think these new faces of the Democrat Party have moved so far left? Why is the leadership of the Democrat Party so far left now in their policies? Question number two is more back to the topic for the day. Why do the ungodly seem to attain political positions of power? I mean, it just appears to me that it seems like some of the most extreme people from a policy standpoint seem to get these positions of power. Why is that? 1-877-655-6755. 1-877-655-6755. Now, while we're getting a few of you up on the call screening board, I want to get to the next one. We've talked about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, and the third of that trifecta is Rashida Tlaib. She's a new congressperson from Michigan, Muslim as well. I think you probably heard this soundbite on her first day in office. Here's what she had to say about President Trump.
And when your son looks at you and says, Mama, look, you won, bullies don't win. And I said, baby, they don't, because we're going to go in there. We're going to impeach them.
Now, this soundbite actually has the personal aspect in it as well, what kind of person she is. But the policy of my whole point of being here in the Congress is to impeach this president. She said in a tweet, the hardest part of serving in Congress as a woman of color and as a first, as a Muslim, is how people hear you differently. No matter how much we take on the hate and stay true to who we are through our experiences, our voices are shushed and reduced. We aren't perfect, but neither is this institution. That's Rashida Tlaib. And Ilhan Omar, of course, retweeted that. She liked that tweet. Going down to Cory Booker, he's the senator from New Jersey. Now, he is on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he's also running for president. He was interviewing this week as part of his Senate Judiciary Committee appointment a woman named Naomi Rao. She is President Trump's nominee to replace Brett Kavanaugh, who's now in the Supreme Court, to replace him on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit Court. So just listen again to this line of questioning by Cory Booker and what he's asking her, trying to find out.
In a 2008 article, you criticized the Supreme Court's landmark decision in Lawrence v. Texas, which invalidated the state laws that criminalize same-sex relationships. You said that the court's decision, quote, eschews older traditions in favor of an emerging awareness of the meaning of and the scope of liberty. What, in your view, should the Supreme Court have been in the business of upholding older traditions, as you said, of laws that criminalize same-sex relationships?
Well, Senator, those were some comments made in the course of an article about dignity and constitutional law. And of course, Lawrence is a precedent in the Supreme Court, which I would faithfully follow if I were
confirmed. Are gay relationships, in your opinion, immoral?
Senator, I'm not sure, you know, the relevance of that to, you know, I mean,
I think relevant your opinion. If you think African-American relationships are immoral, do you think gay relationships are immoral? Do you personally believe that gay relationships?
No, I do not.
You do not believe that?
No.
Do you believe they're a sin?
Senator, you know, my personal views on any of these subjects are things I would put to one side and I would faithfully follow.
So you're not willing to say here whether you believe it is sinful for a man, two men to be married. You're not willing to comment on that?
Yes, Senator, no.
That should tell you a lot. You can learn a lot from these sound bites about what the worldview of Cory Booker and these others is. And he's basically putting a religious test on this person to serve in the U.S. Court of Appeals in D.C. by saying, if you believe that homosexuality is sinful, then you're not allowed. Don't even apply for this job. That's not constitutional, by the way. You can't even do that legally. But this is what it's become, is that, you know, again, did you notice how he equated the moral equivalency of, you know, if you're against two black people marrying each other, how can you be against two men marrying each other? Because remember, as we've said, gay is the new black. It's not a moral choice, homosexuality. It's just like being born that way with the color of your skin. Learn a lot from this kind of worldview as we're seeing in this new face of the Democrat Party. Okay, we'll come back. We'll get to your phone calls after this next break here on the Christian Worldview, as we discuss why the ungodly attain positions of power.
There's an abundance of resources available in Christian bookstores and online, but the sad reality is that many of them, even some of the most popular, do not lead to a sound and strong faith. A key aim of the Christian Worldview is to identify and offer resources that are biblically faithful and deepen your walk with God. In our online store, we have a wide range of resources for all ages, adult and children's books and DVDs, Bibles and devotionals, unique gifts, and more. So browse our store at thechristianworldview.org and find enriching resources for yourself, family, friends, small group, or church. You can also order by calling our office toll-free at 1-888-646-2233. That's 1-888-646-2233. Or visit thechristianworldview.org.
Well, I think the greatest sin in the world is bringing children into the world that have disease from their parents, that have no chance in the world to be a human being, practically. Delinquents, prisoners, all sorts of things just mocked when they're born.
That's Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood. We ought to never become indifferent to the slaughter of the innocents taking place in our country. This is why we are offering a DVD series entitled Life is Best that will equip you to stand for life and against this injustice. In this two DVD set are 13 episodes that address all the facets of abortion, from the worldview battle to what you can do. For a limited time, you can order the Life is Best DVD series for a donation of any amount to the Christian Worldview. Normal retail is $49 plus shipping. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call 1-888-646-2233 or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. Final segment of the day here on the Christian Worldview radio program. I'm David Wheaton, the host. Our website is thechristianworldview.org. Go there to get connected with the program and free weekly email and annual print newsletter and lots of resources we have that are featuring right now in our store for a donation of any amount to the ministry. Get to the callers in just a second, so be ready to get to that. Just two more quick examples of, I just want to get through a couple more sound bites here. Of this new faces of the Democrat Party and what they believe. This is Kamala Harris. She was asked about marijuana, legalizing marijuana. And she's a candidate for president as well in 2020. Here's what she had to say in an interview about marijuana.
Have you ever smoked?
I have.
Okay.
Like in college, I inhaled. I did inhale. It was a long time ago. But, yes.
I know you have to go. They say you have to go. I just wanted to
I just broke loose.
I mean, was it in college? See, I like stuff like that. That's a real honest answer.
It's real.
Was it a blunt or joint?
It was a joint.
Hey.
Yeah.
You remember the high?
I do.
So if it was legalized all throughout the country and medicinal, would you, you know, do it?
Listen, I think that it gives a lot of people joy, and we need more joy.
We need more joy in this world.
A Democrat candidate for president talking about getting into an altered state with drugs. That's what they stand for. Last one is Beto O'Rourke. He was asked recently, a very charismatic congressman from down in Texas, nearly beat Ted Cruz in the senatorial race down there, probably going to be running for president. Here's what he had to say about border walls during this border debate.
If you could, would you take the wall down now? Here.
Yes.
Like you have a wall.
Absolutely.
Like, knock it down.
I'd take the wall down.
And do you think the city?
Take the wall down. We don't need borders. Let whoever wants to come across the borders come across the borders. So you can see from top to bottom here, the policy positions aren't hidden. I don't think Democrats would have said this 10 years ago, the kinds of things that we're hearing from the audio today. Let's get to the phone calls now. Let's go first to Scott in Florida. Welcome to the Christian Real View. Why do you think the Democrats, these new Democrats, have moved so far left in their policies? And the bigger question is, why do the ungodly attain positions of political power?
Oh, yeah. Okay, David, thanks for my call. Yeah, I've thought about this a lot. I think the liberal social tyranny position has always been there. It's been fought rather successfully in the past. But I think because of Trump's rather black and white, bold conservative stance, it's forced their hand to the only political philosophy available, which is socialism. And that's their only pathway to power that they can conceive of today. And mm-hmm. It's couched in the name of good at new ideas because it's never been tried here, you know, and people want new ideas. But I think that's the real reason.
Well, thank you, Scott, for your call. You know, it might be some truth to that because Trump is so, you know, speaks so clearly and so starkly and so black and white. It's just enraged the other side, and they're trying to position a difference between them and Trump. That's probably maybe part of the reason. Let's go next to Kevin in North Carolina. Welcome to the Christian Real View. What are your thoughts on this topic?
Okay, I want to take your second question first. I think yep. Malachi, and I'm not sure about this because I haven't got my sword with them in my car, but mm-hmm. I'm thinking that Malachi said it best, said the wicked prosper only for a time, or is it a season? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we're at. I think we've got the wicked prospering, these folks that are they're anti-American, and I think it just it's just an explosion, and we've got young kids that don't realize what socialism is and what it's done to countries like Argentina and some of these other countries.
Venezuela, for sure, yeah. Kevin, I'm going to get you some more callers. Thank you for your call there. Let's go next to Jake in Louisiana. Welcome to the Christian Real View. Jake, what are your thoughts on why these Democrats have moved so far left in the ungodly attaining political power?
Because the terrorists have moved into the Congress. America has gave up God. Now we're giving up our country. Next, we're going to be giving up our family. Y'all need to wake up. We got to start getting with it. We need to go get these people and get them out of office now, or we're going to suffer.
Yeah, Jake, I appreciate your call. You know, it is an interesting question how they get elected. You know, how does someone like Ilhan Omar, with her political views, get elected? Is it that people in her, district align with her political views, her extreme leftist views? I mean, is there such a strong delusion that somehow her policies are going to help this country or consistent with this country's values? Is it the impact of the educational system, you know, on people now that the educational system is so leftist and they're just immersed in that growing up that they just think that this is the way America needs to go? I mean, the 5th District here in Minneapolis is an urban district. But it's still 67% white, 17% black, 9% Hispanic, 6% Asian, 1% Native American. And Ilhan Omar won 78% of the vote. Okay. Now she's replacing Keith Ellison, who used to be the congressman from that district. He's also a Muslim. So it's obviously a liberal district, but it's not like it's, you know, we've had a lot of Somali refugees here. It's not like it's a majority Somali or something like that. There are lots of people voting for Ilhan Omar to be in power. They want her values in Washington. Or is it just the fact that the ungodly attain positions of power because they're pushier and louder than their opponents? They're willing to use any means necessary to gain power. I mean, this is nothing new in the past. The strongest, the ones that are willing to fight the dirtiest, usually win. You know, the people that aren't willing to do that, that have more integrity in the way they live their lives, aren't willing to go to those lengths to win at all costs. So that may be part of the reason as well. Because again, nothing new in America. The ungodly have always attained positions of power. Let's go to one more call. Real quick, Scott in Florida, welcome to the Christian Worldview. Why do you think the Democrats have moved so far left, and why do the ungodly attain position? Oh, sorry, Randy in Kansas. Got the wrong person. Randy in Kansas. Welcome to the Christian Worldview. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'd like to start with the second part first. I believe that the deeper the darkness, the brighter the light. That the Christian church in America has sat on their hands in the pews for way too long, and the darkness gathered up around them, and they knew not what. But I believe, furthermore, that the Democrats, the spirit of Antichrist is upon them, and they are deceived. And those who vote for them are deceived as well.
Randy, appreciate that call, and that goes well with what I'd like to conclude with today. I think the real answer to this question is the principle of being given over in Romans chapter 1. And if you haven't read that passage ever in Romans chapter 1, I would encourage you to read that today. And this explains when someone rejects God and doesn't turn and repent and hardens their conscience time and time again, God gives them over. And you get worse and worse and get further and further away from him. For the wrath of God, it says, Romans 1:18, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. And then it goes on to say, for this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. And that's exactly what's taking place in America right now. I fear for this country that God has given us over. And this is going to be more of the same going forward and even worse. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray that the righteous would flourish and that those promoting ungodly policies would be stopped in their tracks and be under the deep conviction of God. We thank you for joining us today on the Christian Worldview, everyone. Go to the website to hear the podcast. And until next week, think biblically and live accordingly.
We hope today's broadcast turned your heart toward God, His Word, and His Son. To order a CD copy of today's program, or sign up for our free weekly email, or to find out how you can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, go to our website, thechristianworldview.org, or call us toll-free at 1-888-646-2233. The Christian Worldview is a weekly one-hour radio program that is furnished by the Overcomer Foundation and is supported by listeners and sponsors. Request one of our current resources with your donation of any amount. Go to thechristianworldview.org or call us toll-free at 1-888-646-2233 or write to us at Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. That's Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. Thanks for listening to The Christian Worldview. Until next time, think biblically and live accordingly.